Hey, good morning, Thrive Community Church. How are we doing today? It's very quiet in here today. I feel a little vacant over here. All the kids have left. I get to totally focus on you guys today. I love it. So welcome to Thrive, both in-house and online. We're so glad you guys are here today. Are you feeling it? Yeah, you guys are a little, oh, I got it. I can get to pep. You guys need to do a few laps around the building? Yes, no, maybe. All right, we'll get this together. I want to welcome you today. I'm Pastor Stephanie, if you don't know me, and I'm one of the senior, I could say I'm a senior member or I'm on the senior team. Both of them are given away by my lovely Grays. So just know that they're all well-deserved and well-earned, okay? We're here today to continue our series on Real People, Bold Faith, and we're pretty excited about it. This is number 3 of 4 in a series, and we're going over our core values. Back in May, we had the time to get away as a senior team and really sit with the Lord and really ask Him who we are and, like, what is it that we reflect? And one of those things is this very core value of being real. So being real people in real situations, taking our masks off, being real, and having bold faith. And today we're going to continue that. And it's going to, our message today is about being bold together. And it's community that builds courage. How many of you are up for some courage? Yeah, it's not a cup of courage. It's a community of courage. You got it? All right, there's a little bit of a difference. Okay. Tribe season is here, and you heard Shane say a few things about that. You've been hearing over and over about tribes and how important they are. And the whole key to that is community. And so at any time, you can tap that lovely blue button in front of you, and you can click in, and it'll open up an entire screen that then you can click into tribes, and you can shop tribes. Tribes are where you get connected here at Thrive Community Church, because we believe you get free while you're in tribes. It's one of our 4 pillars out on the wall. So if you were to walk through those doors and you would turn back around and up on the big wall, you're going to see 4 points on the wall. That second one is find freedom. And we are convinced, in fact, we know we have testimony after testimony, even our own personal testimonies, of how we find freedom by being around a collective group of people. But here's the deal. It's got to be this kind of freedom. Bold together. That was community. And let's go one more. A healthy, safe community brings you out of isolation and into the light. All of us have been guilty of dealing with things on our own and not being in community. And it's amazing, once you get into community, then you actually don't want to go back out, because something happens within the context of community. What I want you to notice is healthy and safe here. It's really important. And at Thrive Community Church, we actually have something called our social covenant. Our social covenant is a list right here, just like this, that I think there's one even hanging in the bathrooms, so that no fights break out in the bathroom. Just kidding, right? Because everybody wants that hairspray and that smelly good stuff. No, what this is this sets the precedence. It sets the tone for every conversation we have, every meeting we have, every oversight we have, and our Thrive Tribes. We even drive it down into student ministry, and then down into Alpha, and we drive it down into our next gen kids, because we want this to be a really important, these to be really important values that you feel found in and safe in. I'm just going to briefly go over these, because here's the deal. Some of us have never been in a safe place. We don't know what safe feels like. Even in the context of some of our homes, even growing up, whatever it is, you may not feel safe, or you may not have felt safe. And so what does it feel like to be safe? It means that we can have honest, open, transparent conversations. We call those hot conversations. We're going to take our mask off, and we're going to be for real. We're going to talk real, loving, kind, all those things encompassing it, but we're going to get real. We attack problems. We never attack people. We listen first. We respond second. That means we're in the moment with people. We actually stop, and we listen to their story. We actually stop, and we respond. We pause in the moment to love them in the moment. It's for all. It doesn't matter where we're at. Even when we're in the cafe, whatever it is we're doing around here, we want to take the pause, okay? Failure is an option. Isn't that nice to know? Isn't it nice to know that you're in a safe enough place that you can make a mistake, and it's okay? We're going to help come around you and bring you up and level you up after that. But it's okay. you're not rejected. Clarity is next best thing to certainty. Choose to believe the best in people. We all need to choose to believe the best in people, because many times your response to someone is probably attached to a trauma from a long ago. It reminds you, or it's poked a button, it's pushed a button in you that actually needs healed. And so what we want to do is we want to choose to believe the best in people. Fearlessly challenge restraints in each other and the ministry. I love the fearlessly challenge restraints because I do it on the daily. Even on this prayer line this morning, talking to a couple, I had a young lady come up to me dealing with a couple things, and we actually had to go after the lies that she believed. And once you figure out that the enemy's trying to take you down and you're actually believing a lie, it loosens things up, it breaks those things off, and you begin to come into agreement with God's word. But if somebody's not pointing you that way, you may never find it. So that's why we fearlessly challenge things. I will reproduce myself and others. That's discipleship. That's what that is. That's the Great Commission. That says go and make disciples. That means duplicate yourself. What I get poured into, I always want to be pouring right back out into others. I want to make space even for more to get poured to me so I can pour more out. It's part of living in a Christian community, and that's how we grow people up. And the last one, we have to hear from you. So as we talk about that, it's that healthy, safe community brings you out of isolation and into the light. And in that, we have a... I was going to do some social covenant stuff, and we're good to go. This healthy, safe community brings us into this place and out of isolation. And you're going to see this isolation's a big deal right now. So many of us have so many friends online. Like, we've got a ton of friends online. But are we actually connected to people? And this is a big deal. It's a big deal, especially for our generations that are coming up. And we've actually lost track of an entire generation, in a sense. They've actually grown up as this is the only thing they've known for connection. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes and what impact that has had. But here's the thing. Real people, actually, or real faith, come on, work for me. Loneliness is a silent epidemic. Real faith requires real people. You know, I'm sharpened by being around people. Many times you'll hear pastors say, you may say that I've got the fruits of the Spirit, but I don't like to be around people. Well, your fruits aren't going to come out. The true fruit isn't going to come out till you're actually tested. You realize that? We can all be at home. We can all be doing the things, thinking that we've got it all together, but are you loving and kind and generous and faithful? And all the fruits, is that what happens when you get around your family? Oh, I have some faces out there. I got some little smirks going. Is that what happens when you get around your workspace? Is that what happens? Is that what's coming out? And so here's what happens here. Real faith actually requires real people. So we need to be around each other. I've often heard of it as like taking the hard edges off of each other. Have you ever heard that? It's like we begin to understand this grace and love over our lives, and we begin to love others. And what happens is when we are in with people, we find things that are a little disconnected in us, and we might just need healed with something. And so it requires you being in community. And so this is one of the desires of the Lord. This is one of the desires. What's interesting is we literally have Jesus himself who walked in community. He walked in community. He chose 12 people to walk with him for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Yeah, we're not asking much for Thrive Tribe. It's like 10 weeks. We're not asking for 3.5 years, all right? But you get the idea. And here we have this perfect example. We have this perfect model that he's put in place. And how is it that we've come to the conclusion that it's okay to just do alone, to just be alone, to not connect? How is it that we have come to that conclusion? Well, Jesus gives us this perfect example of walking with these men. And these men needed shaped and formed. They were living in a very, they had been cultured in such a way that was not in agreement with the kingdom of God. And some of them just flat out carried a religious spirit. As you know, on number one of our pillar is introducing you to the real Jesus. And the real Jesus is not a religious Jesus. He's a relational one. And so Jesus gets these 12 together and he begins to walk out this life with them. And what he does is he does not enable them. He actually empowers them. Do you hear that? There's a difference. We can be in a group of people, but if I keep telling you that pat you on the back that your poor behavior or the way you talk to yourself is okay, I'm not sure that's doing much help. That's enabling, but instead, Jesus empowers us. And when you get in real community that's walking out the values of the Word of God, you're gonna find empowerment, and then you're gonna learn how to empower others. You're gonna learn how to do this. I often say, I've got something even came up. I think it was Thursday night worship, and as I was talking with someone, she just said something real quick, and I go, "Oh, you can't say that." She's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "You can't say that." And she's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "I am not going to allow you to talk about yourself that way." Somebody in the room has to be able to say, to take notice and go, that's not kingdom thinking. Instead, we need to move you out of that because you're believing a lie about yourself, and I'm not going to let you believe it. Same thing just happened up here, 9 o'clock service, prayed for a young lady, first-time visitor. She's believing some lies. And Jesus met her in that moment and spoke truth over her, spoke truth and love. And so that's what community does. It pauses in the moment and it speaks truth, always wrapped in love. And guess what? It's contagious, which is amazing. A couple things I want to talk to you about is this. We're going to get this to work. There we go. Isolation is this. It equals alone, which then equals loneliness. Did you know loneliness is actually considered an epidemic in the United States? This is from the Surgeon General. And so we have to remember that loneliness as an emotional response, something that we come into agreement with, actually has a physical effect on our bodies. Just like unforgiveness has an effect on our bodies, bitterness and anger. Here's what the Word of God says about that. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to one's whole body." We are never meant to be alone. We need to understand that Word of God because our health is at risk. What we come into agreement with here will manifest in our bodies. Let's look again. Proverbs 14:30, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." I'll never forget having experience with peace one time. And what happened was I used to carry just a lot of tension. You know how you carry that tension and anxiety? And many times it'll land in a certain spot in your body. And I'll never forget, I just had a revelation with the Lord. He was so kind, and he brought breakthrough in some areas of my life that brought this. I felt washed in this peace, and I can tell you, ever since that day, I have no longer had that anxiety in my back. I'm not carrying it all up here because I'm choosing instead to come in agreement with peace that I can carry. That's the option, and so it's real. It happens, and so you can check your bodies. Next time you get tension filled, check your body. See what's going on with it. But here's some interesting news. The U.S. Surgeon General has called loneliness an epidemic. Come on. There we go. Teens and young adults ages 16 to 24, look at that statistic. 73% of them classify themselves as lonely. They have loneliness. This is a major thing. Adults 25 to 30 are about 34%, and adults 30 plus, they're better, but they're not extremely better. And so what has happened is we have allowed a generation to grow up with these and lots of screen time. And in that, they have disconnected from a reality, a world that's always been meant for us to connect in. And in the disconnect, it has some profound effects. Let me read a few of you, and this is for everyone who actually feels lonely, who actually is grabbing that loneliness and walking with it. Premature death from all causes. Cardiovascular disease and stroke. Dementia, and the last one listed was depression, anxiety, and suicidal risk. Okay? This is what loneliness will do. Loneliness drives you away from everything. It takes you out of community and into the enemy's hands. And guess what? The enemy loves to come visit. He loves to have a little pity party with you in this space. And he loves to reinforce every lie that you've believed. Every lie of rejection, every lie that I don't belong, all those lies. He loves to. So where God calls us to community, where we actually have people around us, we can still be kind of jacked up and messed up, but at least we've got people around us to work through it with, right? That love us, that honor that social covenant, that make it a safe place for you. But the enemy says, no, you're not worthy of that. You don't belong. And he'll bring you over here. Sometimes he'll bring some drugs and some alcohol with him. He might bring whatever it is that would feed your emotions. And he doesn't play fair. He really doesn't play fair. I want you to listen to this. Teens, I'm not sure if I have the slide or not. Let me check. In teens and young adults in this area, the 73%, their brain development, the part of the brain that regulates emotions, is still developing and leading to more intense negative feelings from loneliness. Your teenager is not crazy and extreme. Their brain isn't developed all the way. Do you hear me? There's a difference. They don't have the capacity yet to emotionally regulate. So when you see the highs and lows of things, they're very dramatic because that's how their brain is functioning right now. They're learning how to regulate. And they've got to do that. These phones, again, the phones are not helpful. All right? Social media is a part of that problem. They compare themselves to others online, fostering feelings of isolation. Lack of coping skills. Adolescents have had less time to develop coping skills for dealing with anything. Identity development. This is profound too. Social relationships are central to identifying early in adolescence. They make teens more sensitive to feelings of not being connected or accepted by peers. Everyone in this world needs to know that they are loved and connected. Everyone needs to know. And so these are the things that are happening. Mental health crisis is the real deal. You go home, you can do the studies, do the work. All you have to do is hop online. The profound effect of social media, these phones and all these things on this generation has skyrocketed anxiety and depression and suicide in teenagers. Skyrocketed it. If you are a parent, if you are a grandparent or a dear friend of a family that's got kids, whether it is their teenagers dealing with it or whether they're preteens or even adolescents, I would invite you to get in this Thrive Tribe on Wednesday night. So we're going to walk through this book, and we're going to talk about how we can cope with this problem together. Because again, why would we think that we have to problem solve everything alone? We need to be in groups so that you can find support. So I would invite you to that. One of the screens I do want to show you is this one. It's really important. As I was starting to make that little list of what the enemy loves to do, here's a more lengthy one. Because this is what he does. He tries to trick you into believing that you're not worthy. I don't need people. I have nothing to contribute. Do any of these sound familiar to anyone? I am unlovable. This is what isolation does. I am not healthy emotionally or physically enough. That means I'm too messed up. I can't even be in community. I'd feel too awkward. It just wouldn't work. And the last one, I do not belong. These are lies that the enemy loves to feed people. Lies, 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 right? Yeah, they're lies. But here's the deal. Community breaks. Good, healthy, safe community will break you out of this. It will break you out and set you free. Let's go into point one. We're going to get through our message. Bold faith is stirred in community. You know, I'm going to leave for Brazil tomorrow. And I go with a team of people that I considered many of them treasured friends. And I don't know if I'm more excited about the missions that we're on or being with my friends, because that's the kind of community we have. I know that when I get to the airport at DFW and we're in the terminal, that I have friends flying in from Chicago, that I can't wait to see their faces in that terminal, because I know we will be like this again. They know me. And I know them. And in that, what happens is I get stirred up. and I get excited. It says, let us consider how we may spur each other on, one another, on towards love and good deeds. That's my mission work right there. Not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What happens in that verse is we spur one another on. You can look in the mirror every morning, and I hope you give yourself a pep talk, but if you're not giving yourself a pep talk, you've got to allow people in your life to give you the pep talk. Everyone needs encouragement. They need words spoken over them. And don't give up meeting together. That means we have to be intentional about getting together. We have to be committed to something. There's nothing like the in and out, because what happens is then you don't ever really get connected. What'll happen, a trauma response for you, I can see it as a pastor all the time. Somebody will come into a group and they'll get into a group and we just start to be able to take those masks off about 3 weeks in, and then all of a sudden they got some excuses. They got to backpedal out a little bit. And I got to come back around. I go, come on, why are you not coming? What's the deal? What's going on? And it's the internal struggle. Every one of us has had a million excuses. I have. When I was younger, I had the excuses, let me tell you. But I don't anymore, and I won't let anyone else give me an excuse that's not valid. Because I know the treasure is what the treasure is of having real community with people. You know, we have a group that's going to start, our tribes start today. And so I have a tribe, and Shauna has a tribe, and my tribe is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I've been through this book about 10 times. The first time I went through with friends, I ran from this book, and I ran from this tribe. I'm just being honest. This is a kick you in the shin kind of book, make you think about what's going on in your heart, what's really going on in your lives. But when I kept going, I went the distance, and I stayed in it, I grew in leaps and bounds. And we have a group right now that we weren't even going to start this book until September 21st. And they are chomping at the bit to get started because they can already sense the value of community. And so I am so excited that we get to do this together. And so Terry and I decided, you know what? It doesn't matter if we're leaving for Brazil tomorrow. We will have tribe today because it's not about us. It's about making sure these people are being connected. And so in that, we're pretty darn excited. So faith is stirred in proximity, though. And I'm going to tell you what happens with me is I get going, and I get down to Brazil, and these are my people that give me courage. They give me courage to pray bold prayers, big prayers, to step out in faith and to grow. And without this team of people, this team is separate from this place. This is a team that I've known for a while, and we are on text messages, but they know me. And if I have a cry for help for something or I need prayer, it's not just a yes, I'll pray for you. It's a phone call. Let me pray for you. And it's a long text of specific prayers about things. It's really about that proximity and being connected. So faith is stirred that way. Faith also needs support. Come on. Bold faith needs support. You know, two are better than one, right? And if either of them falls down, here we go. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. That's a nice idea too. All right. Here's the thing. I've asked people before, why don't you want to sign up for a tribe? I don't need a tribe. I've got Netflix. I'm like, what? You have Netflix? Great, you have Netflix. All right. Tell me, is Netflix going to pray for you when you need prayer? Is Netflix going to come check on you? Are they going to cook for you when you're sick? Are they going to come alongside you and when you're ill? Are they going to help you through situations? Are they going to be there for you? Are you known? These are real things that come up. And so we're all a part of this ring around the rosy. How many know that song? Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes. We all fall down. We will fall down. We will. Every one of us in this room will fall down. But here's the question. Your who is your community? Your who is the one that's going to meet you and love you. Your who is the one that is going to come around. And I could give you, I have all these living examples in me. There's a member of a tribe, a group, that she got sick, and we all jumped in. We fixed her food. We helped with family chores. We did all the things. And her response was, I have never felt so loved and cared for. I have never experienced this kind of community. For me, it screams on the inside of me, because I'm like, why? How could we not have that community around people? But there, we have congregations. We have people in here that need other people to actually care for them. You know, pastorally, what we do is we actually hand off pastoring. And I don't want to call it handoff. We actually train pastors. We train Thrive Tribe leaders to actually pastor. Because Pastor Nathan cannot pastor this room twice over. I can't pastor this room twice over. But we can have our touch points, and we can have our groups, and we can be intentional. Serve teams are intentional. You know that blue man group, that's what I call them. There's Paul right there. He leads the blue man group. I love them. They're our safety guys. Do you know that down the hall, they get here early in the morning and they stand in that room back there? Not only do they eat donuts, but they pray for you. They pray for their safety of this church, and they're dedicated. And you know what else they do? They eat breakfast every week together so they can stay connected. And then, albeit, I think the average age for that group is 50 plus. I may be wrong. I'm sorry if I've offended someone, but I'm pretty sure it is. And I don't think you're 50. But you know, we have these group me's online just to track teams. That group me, that safety group me, is explosive and funny all in the same spot, but they're there for each other. They are there for each other. So our serve teams also serve as tribes. Our children's teams gather, our guest experience travels. This worship team, they are a tribe on Thursday nights, and then they come and gather here on Sunday mornings. And I'm going to give you a little secret. They wash their hands before the Lord with a basin and water so that they can come out here being clean and pure before you. And they follow the social covenant. But they have found life and victory in that, and we're thrilled for them. It's all about community. So who is your who is your community? Point three, bold faith grows when we're all in. They devoted themselves. Come on. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. All the believers were together, all of them, and had everything in common. They broke bread. That means they had pizza. That means they had brownies. That means they had all the good stuff, because tribes, when we do tribes, when you do community of any sort, do you ever notice what happens when you eat? Everyone relaxes, don't they? Yes. You know, if you're a mom and you ever need to get something out of your teenager or your kids, you fix them their favorite foods and you sit with them and talk, right? It loosens things up. And the Lord added to their number daily all those who were being saved. You know, I pondered this as I was preaching in my kitchen practicing, and it came to me, what the heck? Look at this. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And what were they doing? They were devoting themselves to community. What is it that's so attractive about community? Have we not scratched the surface yet? Because if we live out of such a vibrant community, people will be drawn to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? They'll be drawn to it. You know, Scott and I lived in Illinois most all of our lives, and we hopped on the Youth for Christ, and we had 40 kids the first week show up. We were on a rotation between homes, and 40 kids show up on a Monday night, and we do it at our home. And the next week, the number went up, and the number went up, and the number went up, and the number went up. It kept going up, and then we realized we know what God wanted to do, because we had a huge family room. These kids became refrigerator friends. Have you ever know what a refrigerator friend is? They go through your cabinets. They go to your refrigerator. I'll never forget this young man coming in. It was actually the first time in my house. He walked in the door, and he opened my refrigerator, and he looked up, and he looked down, he checked her out, and he shut the door, and then he turned around to the banquet of food. We had anywhere from 60 to 130 kids in our house every Monday night for 10 years. You know why? They felt safe. They weren't judged. They were in a place where they could sense that no matter what they carried in the door, that they would still be loved. And it's incredible. And so this is what happened, but we had to be all in. And these kids were all in. We've got high school students here right now that, you know, they're showing up for Sunday service. They're going to show up for Bible study today for 2 hours, a little bit later on this afternoon. And then they're going to turn around and they're going to be at student ministries on Wednesdays. They're committed. And you know what's happening with them? Without even knowing it was the funniest thing. This morning, I literally was in the Connect room. I picked up this piece of paper. I was like, what is this? I'm like, oh, this is what this is what Sergio was talking about. He caught me out back the other day, Pastor Stephanie. He goes, you won't believe what's happening with these kids. He goes, it's like freedom sessions breaking out on Wednesday nights. We split the kids in two. The girls are to one area. The guys are usually in the Connect room. And here are some of the questions. Who's one person this week who can help hold you accountable to be real? How can being real strengthen your friendships and your relationship with God? What's one thing you can do this week to be real and identify one person you'll choose to be real with? Then text that person something important to you or something you have a prayer request about. As adults in this room, how are we executing this? How are we doing this? You know, we can preach a good sermon, but are we practicing what we preach and getting connected? I want to encourage you to get connected, because here's what happens when we're connected. We're devoted to teaching. We're devoted to each other. We love each other well. We're generous and unified. You know, I've seen Thrive Tribes come through for people who needed help in situations. That's absolutely incredible. And what was the result? Revival, growth, and transformation. This is where we get transformed. It's in a tribe. It's with people. So right now, I want to take you through a ministry moment. Or actually, even a quick testimony. I've got a testimony. I've got a men's group here in-house that one of our leaders decided, you know what? I know some people who need some attention. And he pulled a group of guys together. And out of that group of guys, I am hearing testimony out of testimony now, because what happened is that got brave and bold enough to cross that line and actually enter into really safe, honest, open, and transparent conversations. And that one individual breaking through that barrier, you know what happened? It gave courage to another to break through, and now the others are breaking through in those areas. That's going on right now. Community brings freedom over and over again. Let me just ask you right now. Just bow your head for a moment. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you show us a few things today? Will you show me where I have avoided connection? True connection. And as you show me that, would you tell me what part of me am I trying to hide and protect that actually needs healed? I want you to get a picture of yourself in your mind right now. What would it look like for you to be healthy and whole? So much power in a picture. What would it look like for you to be healed? What would it look like? What does the picture look like? A thriving you. What does that look like? And now, Holy Spirit, can you show me where to connect to community? Healthy, safe community where I can be me, where I can be known. Is it a tribe? Is it a serve team? Is it a place that you already have that you need to go back to? Lord, I thank you that you are a God of design who has designed connection, that you are a triune God. You show us what community looks like all the time. Lord, I would pray breakthrough for each person in this room, especially if they need the courage to enter community. That every lie of the enemy would be broken off, and that people would know that they would know that they would know that they belong. That rejection would have no place in their hearts. And that you are waiting for them in the context of community with real people and bold faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.